Let us pray. Lord, breathe your spirit upon us at this time. Bless now the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts. Give us an understanding of your holy word and lead us in the way you want us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. On May 17, 1956, Martin Luther King Jr. preached at St. John the Divine Cathedral in New York City on today's reading from Exodus. Martin Luther was taking part in an ecumenical program commemorating the second anniversary of the Supreme Court's decision on school desegregation, that decision in Brown versus the Board of Education. King told the biblical story of the Exodus from Egypt, comparing Israel's captivity with the plight of African Americans. And the sermon title was Evil on the Seashore. 64 years later, its powerful indictment on the evils that prevail in the world still resonates today. It is one of the strangest military engagements in Scripture. The Israelites have been rescued from 400 years of slavery and are following Moses into the unknown, following a God they barely knew, and the Egyptian army is in full pursuit. This was looking like it was not going to end well. Pharaoh had a change of heart and had taken 600 of his best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Israelites are camped alongside the sea with no means of escape. And the Egyptian army believes that this will be an easy victory since it looked as if the Israelites are boxed in and ripe for conquest. And the Israelites only have God's promise, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptian you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. So there are two battles at play here. Pharaoh's conflict with the Israelites, and the second is the battle to remain faithful and trust in what must seem an absurd command, the Lord will fight for you. Israel is on the verge of defeat with their only weapons, the word of a God. They're now being asked to trust. And an angel of the Lord places itself between the advancing army and the Hebrews, causing a wall of separation. And it is because of this wall that the Lord transforms Israel's vulnerability into an escape route. The Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind all night and turned it into dry land, and the waters were divided. And so the people were able to walk on dry land with the water forming a wall on either side. And they were followed by the army whose chariot wheels got clogged up with sand, and they were unable to turn around and retreat. And it was then that Moses was told to stretch his hand over the water, and the mighty Egyptian army was swallowed up. What a graphic description of the destruction of the powers and principalities that deal in corruption, abuse of power, and human misery. And this is Martin Luther. He writes, "This story symbolizes something basic about the universe. It symbolizes something much deeper than the drowning of a few men, for no one can rejoice at the death or defeat of a human person. The story at bottom symbolizes the death of evil. It was the death of inhuman oppression and ungodly exploitation. The death of the Egyptians upon the seashore is a glaring symbol of the ultimate doom of evil in its struggle with good. And there is something in the very nature of the universe which is on the side of Israel in the struggle with every Egypt. There is something in the very nature of the universe that comes to the aid of goodness in its perennial struggle with Egypt, with evil. Throughout this passage, the Lord acts, the Lord speaks and saves, always honoring creation. God creates light in the darkness, divides the water so dry land appears, leading the people from slavery to freedom. And the road from slavery to freedom is a new thing, a new creation. The waters of God's new creation dismantles evil and gives light and life to all peoples. The Lord had rescued Israel from their slavery in Egypt and brought them out with much wealth. But when they saw the Egyptian army in hot pursuit, their hearts failed for fear. Instead of holding fast to and remembering God's promise to take them safely into the land, promised to Abraham, they looked at the problems that were surrounding them. The surging waters of the Red Sea were ahead, mountains all around, and the chariots of Pharaoh's army advancing menacingly. And so they cried out in fear and unbelief, for their confidence in God's promised rescue had faltered. Well, Israel's eye of faith was on the Lord's fiery pillar. They were secure in God's unfailing protection. But as soon as they took their eyes off the Lord in unbelief, what did they see? The surging waters, the mountainous problems, and the intimidating enemy. And Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Stand still and watch the Lord rescue. The Lord will fight for you. Will you keep silent? And like Israel, we can trust that we will never be forsaken, no matter what is happening around us. We are designed, we are created to have confidence in the Lord's faithfulness, and we are to quietly trust in the God of our salvation. For he has promised to fight for us and to deliver us from our enemies. And let us never forget that, like Israel, the challenges we face in life are important opportunities for our faith in God to grow. When we discover ourselves to be surrounded by a whole host of menacing problems, let us not register unbelief in our hearts, but rather let us trust in the faithfulness of God. For the Lord will and the Lord does fight for us. And we need only to rest in God's love and trust. For he who is the great I am is a promise maker, not a promise breaker. And Martin Luther ends this great sermon in hope. He writes, "Let us not despair. Let us not lose faith in man and certainly not in God. We must believe that a prejudiced mind can be changed and that all by the grace of God can be lifted from the valley of hate to that high mountain of love. Let us remember that as we struggle against Egypt, we must have love, compassion, and understanding, goodwill for those against whom we struggle, helping them to realize that as we seek to defeat the evils of Egypt, we are not seeking to defeat them, but to help them as well as ourselves. God has a great plan for this world. His purpose is to achieve a world where all people will live together as brothers and sisters, and where every person recognizes the dignity and worth of all human people. And God is seeking at every moment, at this moment of his existence, to lift us from the bondage of some evil Egypt. COVID-19 comes to mind. Carrying us through the wilderness of discipline and finally to the promised land of personal and social integration. May it not be that this is entirely within the realm of possibility, because Martin Luther says, I prefer to live by the faith that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us pray. On our heads and our houses, the blessing of God. On our coming and going, the peace of God. In our life and believing, the love of God. And at our end and new beginning, the arms of God to welcome us and bring us home. Amen.